Hi, guys. Welcome. Our next guest is Ayman Hariri, co-founder and CEO of Vero Labs. Ayman is an entrepreneur passionate about building technology that empowers artists and creators. As CEO of Vero, the social platform with over 7 million members worldwide, Ayman and his team are rethinking how fans connect with and participate in the worlds they love. He also founded Vero Music, an independent label, an artist incubator helping emerging talent build lasting careers in music. Please welcome Ayman Hariri.
Hi, everyone.
I think first, Ayman, just give us a bit of a lowdown of how and when Vero was founded, a little bit of an intro to Vero Music, and then we'll get into it.
Sure. We've been doing this since 2015. The idea is to create a platform that is socially driven, so users get to decide what content goes on there, and predominantly, how do we create a platform that's global, empowers people from content creators to users, if they want to connect with their families and friends, and how do we get out of the way? How do we create a platform that doesn't put itself into the conversation between people, deciding what people get to see, what content they do get to see, they don't get to see. So not having an algorithmic feed is a key part of that. So I think we're the only platform in the world or one of the few at our size and level that have a chronological feed. So what you post shows up in people's feeds as it should. So you connect with your fans, you connect with your family, you connect with your friends, and we're not getting in the way of that. That's really what sits at the core of what we're doing. Doesn't mean we won't introduce algorithms and discovery feeds. You're trying to find something new. But we're not interested in creating a profile, a psychological profile on you. We're not mining your data. We're asking you, what do you like to see? What do you care about? Where are you? We don't have to have that automated. We don't have to have a lean back experience or use that as an excuse to then mine your data, mine your behavior, to put things in front of you. So that's on the social platform. Vero Music was created because we came across an artist or a band or a group made up of Thunder Jackson and Until the Ribbon Breaks. And Thunder Jackson is an artist that we've been backing ever since. And it's now grown to back quite a few artists like Abby Osea and some other artists like Evanson, Jay Appia, etc. And the idea there, again, was how do we go beyond just writing code as an entity? How do we get our boots on the ground, understand what artists need, what do they go through, and how do we put our money where our mouth is? So Thunder Jackson, I think a couple of weeks ago, hit 10 million streams, so we're super happy about that and proud of him. And we wanted to create a label that created a synergy between the services that we provide artists, but also how do we marry that with the concept of the social network and their presence on social and creating their fandom and help them with that?
Okay. We're seeing a huge shift then of artists taking back control of their music and their businesses. So what do you think, first and foremost, is driving that?
So it's an interesting dilemma. As an artist, you're looking for backing. As an investor, you're looking for security. And as an investor, whether you're a label in the form of a label, private investor, whatever you want to call it, you have no guarantees. I mean, none of us have a crystal ball. If we did, then the world would be completely different. But I think what happens is we always look through the rear view mirror at any problem. We rarely people go back in time in a time machine. I mentor a bunch of people and I tell them, when you're looking at the past, make sure that you don't look at it through a rear view mirror. Hindsight is 20/20. That's where that statement comes from. You have to look back and say, what did I know at the time and what informed my decision? So it's very easy for an artist and everybody else to say, well, looking back, oh my God, the record label owns this, the business owns that, the artist doesn't get this, et cetera, et cetera. And then you start to look at this problem in a vacuum. And so it's only normal, I think, that you have investors say, well, I want the maximum amount of rights because they're investing in 10 or 20 different things. Maybe one of them is going to do well, extremely well. Three of them are going to do pretty well, and the rest are going to do badly, for example. Now, you can keep looking at that. And
quite good odds.
Sorry?
They're good odds.
Right, no, it's very good odds, exactly. Now, if you look at the problem through that lens, it's very normal that artists who have made it successfully, have a bunch of fans, they want to be able to get back those rights, they want to own their own, the remainder of their destiny. It makes sense. What we're interested in is how do we disrupt that entire business cycle where artists can raise money from their fans, have a direct connect with that fandom, be able to identify and nurture their super fans, and do it all legally and not through crypto where you own a token, you don't know what it is, and then it turns out to be illegal and crosses some securities laws and people are coming after you, and that's a big problem. So we've been investing heavily, heavily in the idea of people being able to own a piece of the things that they care about, and for artists to be able to not only have that conversation with their fans where it turns into a number. Look how many followers I have, invest in me, private investor. Well, you have an army of people who believe in you, are willing to back you. If they were given the chance, we want to give them the chance. And then you don't have the problem of your music, your rights, your masters, et cetera, being owned by a single entity. Eventually, we think that fractionalization, tokenization, technology, our platforms like us that give you a direct connect, empower you enough to build your career with your fans as your greatest investors, most powerful investors.
Okay, so what does true creative control look like then to you in 2025, and can that exist on Vero?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the world, obviously we're moving, you see the problem, not the problem, but the introduction of AI, and people are saying, well, where AI is going to take over the world, what jobs are going to remain, what, most importantly, how are we going to make money? How are we going to be able to survive? And what I believe strongly and my team believes in is that the opportunity is right in front of us. It's everywhere. It's how do we get to, with niches, get to own and make money off of the things that we care about and understand the most. Now, for some of us who are gamers, love music, love movies, love sports, if we could make money off of these things, we'd probably do really well. And there's so many niches that you can make, that you can turn into opportunities and synergistic opportunities, that they don't all have to be single IPOs that happen once in a while that you may be able to get into at a reasonable price, make your money off of the spread, sell that, pay for your life. It can be many, 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 many things and create that opportunity for each individual to be a part of small communities that do and thrive and do extremely well. So that's how we see the world. We see the world becoming these communities that are backed by themselves, have true ownership in a legal fashion, where they're not crossing any red lines, where nobody's taking advantage of anybody because it's properly regulated. And now everybody gets to be their own business. Jay-Z said, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. So how do you make that into a reality? And then everybody has an opportunity to be a part of the story.
Okay, I get that if you're going on the platform as an artist without a deal. How does that work for an artist that already has a relationship with a label? Or
so it really is going to be on a case-by-case basis. I can't speak to every contract that exists, but I need to when you're building a platform and you're building it in the way that we're trying to build it, which is how do we not plan for the next 2-3 years, but how do we plan for the next 20 to 50 years? New artists are going to emerge. They will create fandom because they have talent. They have the ability to bring together people around the things that they're doing. And so whether it's existing artists where their deals are based on their existing music and not their future music, or it's new artists based on their new music.
Yeah. I mean, you're even on the label side, though, you've obviously got artists that are obviously championed through Vero or have a special relationship with the Vero social platform, but then you're putting them out into the real world to gain traction on Spotify.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't prevent people from using other platforms. That's not the idea. The idea is to give them an opportunity and an alternative that if they want to have a direct connect with their fans, they can use other platforms as a billboard, but they can use ours as the personal get-together.
Okay. There's a lot of tech for creators out there. So how do we make sure that technology isn't just helping artists make quick cash instead of helping them build long-term kind of creative relationships? Because on the good side of what a label relationship used to be or is, that's obviously there is a, you know, record companies aren't all bad. They do good stuff as well. So everyone left to their own devices on just focused on the money. How do we look after the creativity on a platform like Vero?
You know, so we try not to, we're not an ingredient that gets added to the mix that changes the way the recipe is made. If a person is focused on the money only, it doesn't matter what kind of tech you put in front of them or not put in front of them, that's just how they are. Which means that if you were to create a gathering like this, bring an artist in and all that they're thinking about is money, you put them in the middle of the room, they can talk to everybody, then all they're going to talk about is money. That's their nature. We can't change their nature with technology. So really, what we're giving a chance to is for those who know and are sincere to be able to cut through the noise, not have spent the last 5-6 years of their career building up a fandom that then gets firewalled by a platform. Their fandom is theirs. Their audience is theirs. And if that fandom, that audience, decides they want to back them, they have the opportunity to do so, and we're giving them that opportunity.
Okay, so just talk a bit more about that then. Shared IP and fractional ownership, kind of big buzzwords. but beyond the hype, how might they actually change what an artist's work is worth?
So I don't think about it as what it's worth, because what it's worth is always anything that's for sale is worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it, right? So I don't want to talk about that as much as thinking about what does it provide the artist and what kind of tools are available to them. Let's look at sort of the other end of the spectrum. I'm a Metallica fan. I know they own their music. If I were Metallica, I'd be asking myself, rather than going to a private equity firm, wouldn't I want my fans to own our catalog, and that be their legacy, right? So now what you've created in terms of value in the world is that everybody who got to listen, you know, all the fans that made Metallica who they are and who they've been throughout these years get to own a piece of their catalog, and that becomes an asset of theirs that they both love and they can make money off of, because as long as that catalog is making money, everybody can receive their cut. Let's look at a small artist that is up and coming and that's showing promise. They're showing promise because they're getting traction, because they're getting a fandom. Their optionality is greater. Even if they want to go to private investors, private equity, they have the option of going to their fans, which changes the game. Rather than the source being 3 or 4 boardrooms or 5 committees that get to decide on this stuff, they can say, hey, I can go to my fans and you can own a piece of this yourselves, 5%, 10%, rather than 80%. So it changes the game completely at its core. the self-value, the value attributed
to
oneself.
How does that actually work on Vero?
So how it'll work...
So Metallica moved...
No, not moved.
A Vero account.
They can open up a Vero account, absolutely. I can't wait for that day. I think something will happen to me. They'll have to have the emergency
the context
squad.
Is your, maybe it's David Guetta that does it, right?
No, absolutely. Sorry,
or
yes.
You go.
So they'd open up a Vero account. That account will give them direct access to their fandom. Every single follower that shows up will receive their content without any algorithm getting in the way. They'll be able to sell the merch as much as tickets. They'll be able to measure their fandom themselves without us being creepy about who you are and trying to grab every piece of data about you from every other platform, which is what the big platforms do today, from cell phone carriers to all kinds of records that sit across different systems. We're not doing any of that stuff. So David Guetta will have a direct connect with his fans and then be able to offer up through our platform. He'd go through a process with us. We'd onboard his catalog, make sure that he owns it. All the rights, everything are clear. And then whatever the deal is that he's offering to the fans, that is what would show up on our platform and be available for people to be able to
as investors.
Invest in. Yes. Investors, owners. They could be debt holders. They could everything from debt holders to investors directly in the equity of the catalog.
Okay. So other than that, which other tools genuinely do you think move artists towards independence? Things like fans, CRM, and first party data. Would artists on Vero get access to the data you're collecting?
We're not collecting any data, but what we would be doing would be showing them how their content is received by the fans. And not only that, and very importantly, because that is, I would say, probably 30% of the challenge or the value that we could deliver to an artist. The 70%, the more weighted, is who are your biggest fans? Today, any artist, does not know who their biggest fans are. You could be liking every post, watching every video, listening to every song, buying every ticket, buying every piece of merch. They wouldn't know. That's the biggest hole that exists today. We're filling that hole.
Yeah. I mean, they get it through ticketing to a certain extent.
You know, no, they don't.
You don't think so, right?
No, unless they're selling the tickets directly from their website.
Okay. Yeah.
And even if they are, and if they're unless they're selling every bit of merch, yes, then they would know. You would have an account with that artist, and they would be buying from you directly. From that artist directly, but then they don't know what their social interactions are because, as far as I know, nobody owns a social network,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So we're connecting all of those dots.
Okay.
And then you can use investment as a reward. It doesn't have to be a means to coming in.
Okay. So we met each other a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and I hadn't been on the platform, and I went on the platform. So I think... probably the first thing that really resonated with me was your whole approach to algorithms, which you kind of said to me inspired creating it in the first place. So what's Vero's stance on algorithms and their impact on culture, in your opinion?
So algorithms, I'm a computer science major. I studied computer science. That's my sort of background. And I feel like algorithms get a bad rap. It's essentially a set of logic. You are from the Middle East. What do you want to see? Do you want to see Middle Eastern content? Do you want to see Western content? This, that, the other. Something from Ben, something from Mike, something from Jane. It's something that is sitting there deciding for you what to show you. And the purpose of it is to keep your attention. So my issue isn't the algorithm. It's what's its purpose. Its purpose is to keep your attention, because that is the most important thing to these platforms. So the value is forever diminishing for all the people on it. You know, the rise of people feeling bad after going through their feeds, looking at things, they don't feel good, they feel like they've wasted time, etc., etc. All of this, it's
fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out, seeing somebody else's life.
I think it's DJ disease going.
Absolutely. Well, on the personal, you know, sort of mental health, it's I need to show the best side of my life because I don't want people to know this. And then when they think about their lives and it doesn't look as good as what their feeds represented to be, all of this stuff, it's an endless cycle. We don't want to play that game at all. At all. We're here to deliver content from point A to point B or point B, C, D, you know, as many fans or followers or family members or friends that you've got. And then what we wanted, then we said to ourselves, what is the ultimate delivery of value? It's creating a synergy, when possible, when applicable, between people who create and the people who they inspire. How do we create that synergy? How do we create that partnership? That is the ultimate goal of this platform. That synergy and that partnership between creators and their audience.
So what do you think it's going to take, or how do we break away from the big platforms, Instagram, TikTok, streaming giants, etc., and bring the power back to the artists and fans? Saying all that, because, again, like there's a good side of record companies, we go to Instagram, we go to TikTok because there's huge audiences and we aspire to be, for more people to discover us, and we want to be on Spotify because we want to be on the editorial discovery pages, and we feel that that's where the market is. So how do you get the market to come to you, and how are you dealing with that challenge?
Like all things, there's never a silver bullet. So I'm friends with Gary Vee. He taught me something. Always think, is it an or an and question? And I don't think that we need to get rid of the other platforms. The idea is having an alternative. It's not going to happen overnight. There was a time when we had our best options was processed food. Twinkies existed. And we didn't have the alternative of having food that's healthy for you, that's free of chemicals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You still have processed food. Twinkies don't exist anymore. And that happened over a period of time. I have the good fortune of working with a team that's dedicated to what it is that we're doing. If I walked into the office tomorrow and said, hey, we're doing algorithms and we're selling ads and that's, you know, just how it's going to have to be because we can't survive on this, I think 90% of the people would leave. So it takes people like that, a team like ours, coming up, willing to make the sacrifice. Over time, we've been doing this for 10 years, we've stuck to our guns, to create an alternative that isn't going to be a silver bullet, but it will be a off-ramp for those who want to take it, to having an alternative.
I mean, you said to me, I thought it was quite interesting, music, I think, is very challenging because there's so much else out there. You gave me the example of photographers kind of starting to thrive on the platform, which I thought was quite interesting. Another community maybe that had not really found its... I guess people would have thought photographers would have landed good on Instagram, but...
No, because...
Fast the take-up on your platform.
It's at the end of the day, they're giving up content for free, and the content isn't even being presented in a way that the photographers want it to be presented in. So simply, we don't crop your images. I know that sounds utterly mad. It's what we don't do that got photographers interested in us. But people like Peter McKinnon love the platform because it showcases his art without getting in the way. Yeah. We're not trying to fit you into a box, into a square, into crop it this way or that way because it's better for the algorithm, better for the scrolling so that you can see the next piece of content, and that next piece of content is an ad, so we want you to see that ad, so we can't have you take up too much room on the screen, et cetera, et cetera. We're not thinking about any of that stuff. We're thinking about, this is an awesome piece of art. How do we make you see it and enjoy it the way it was meant to be enjoyed?
Well, before all those people leave and you don't take advertising, what is the financial model behind Vero? How do you make money? How does it become a real business?
So eventually we will introduce subscription for every channel. You'll be able to monetize your fans and your audience that way. You get to choose how much you want to charge, and we'll give you tools like premium content and exclusive experiences that you can deliver to the platform. Up to today, it's been me. I've been investing in this for the last 10 years. Everybody thinks I'm mad. I probably am, to a certain extent. But I believe that unless, you know, I've been lucky to bring together a team that culminates culture, the understanding of culture, technology, finance, you know, so many different things. And it's a perfect storm. It's not going to be easy to recreate. And I believe in this, and I believe that it can change the world. So I put my finances behind this to eventually turn it into a subscription service that then gets powered by the users, and they make money, and the platform can sustain itself.
Okay. You're based in this region. When we got introduced, I assumed that Vero was all about this region and growing beyond this region. You
absolutely
kind of put me right, said no, it's actually set up in New York and it's global. But why wouldn't you make this region
like, no, so yeah,
it's like if this region really owned it and something really took off on the platform, that would actually make it very attractive for the rest of the world.
Oh, absolutely. Technicalities were registered in the US. Absolutely. That's where we are right now. That could change. I live here. I live in Dubai. My kids go to school here, and I'm from here. I've lived here most of my life. Was in Riyadh up to 4 or 5 years ago, and moved to Dubai. And you know, we're absolutely, I mean, we love it. We love the city. We love the region. We come from here.
You said there were some behind the scenes, the way the company's actually set up technology wise.
Yeah, licenses. We have some very big licenses that we're getting here in Abu Dhabi. I've had nothing but encouragement, support from you know, local decision makers here, because they see the power of what we're bringing and the ability to have culture be something that people can invest in and trade and be a part of out of this region is very synonymous with how this country, this region behaves and presents itself to the world.
Okay. So the other thing that strikes me is partnerships as well. What and so many people attending IMS Dubai, what role do partnerships play in building the fan momentum and cultural relevance of the platform?
So, yeah.
Well,
so
could they play?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on the partnerships. I mean, ultimately, if we're partnering with, whether it's a label that wants to introduce us to their artists because that's where artists currently have deals, and you know, it helps us with our business development, helps get the word out there. We're not interested in going and doing a bunch of ads that are going to, you know, for the vast majority are not going to hit home. We think about relationships. Partnership means relationship, and that partnership leads you to opportunities. So we recently partnered with Avalanche. Avalanche is our underlying blockchain for our exchange. Once that's up and running, we'll be running on the Avalanche technology stack. And they've been fantastic at introducing us to other partners that can bring value to us. So it's really about coming to things like, you know, events like IMS and partnering with IMS, where we're getting firsthand connection with people in the industry and building from there.
Okay. People are waving at me about the time, but I'm going to ignore them and ask you a couple more questions, because we definitely could be here for an hour. What do you think the biggest misconception is about social media and music that the industry and artists need to kind of unlearn?
Look, I think without there being an alternative like us, it makes it hard for them to accept a different way of behaving. But the one thing that I would just, you know, if I had to leave you with one thought, is that you don't own your audience. Like, you are giving up a lot of content, and most importantly, you're publishing content, but you're giving up the relationship and a real relationship with your artists if you're not thinking about creating that direct relationship. And we're here to be that place where every single follower, every single subscriber, every single person that's looking at your content, you have a direct relationship with.
I mean, 10, 50, you've actually started a label as well. So that's kind of old school thinking to a certain extent. But so in 10, if we were sitting here in 10 years time and like Vero's super successful, have you wiped out the labels and the publishers? What's the future look like?
I think
the ideal future.
It's not about wiping people out, but it's about changing their behavior. Here's how our label works. We sign an artist. Any amount of money that we're putting towards that artist, we recoup 75%, 25%. What does that mean? Usually, artists, as for anybody who knows this, when a label gives some money, the artist doesn't make any money until the label recoups 100% of what they've invested or spent. In our case, we recognize that an artist has to live and survive. So if their music, their tours, whatever, is starting to make money, they get 25% of that. When we do recoup, it flips. The artist takes 75%, we take 25%. Because I'd rather own 25% of a very successful artist than owning 75%. It's just how we think. So if we get to be successful, I would like that our behavior disrupts the behavior of others and makes them think that there's a better way to do this.
Okay. Last question, because this is predominantly an electronic music, dance music culture event that we've built over, 18 years, and Beatport's our partner. and we so much of us live through Beatport because that's the place people hang,
Yep.
And as I said, we live a bit in Instagram and Spotify and everything else, and I obviously my whole career has been on the radio. So where can we fit into your world? What are the first steps you think that people in the dance community could take to step into Vero? Because we're not going to step off Beatport. We're probably not going to step off of Spotify. And
yeah, it's a very good question. I'll tell you how my mind thinks, and
I might be running one of the hottest clubs in the world or something. I might be running a Shwaya in Dubai. Why should I be on Vero?
To me, what I'm thinking about is what value can I deliver to you, not the other way around. And I think that that's probably the conclusion of, the summary of how we think. We're not here to ask you to come to us and leave this and that so that it creates value for us. I'm thinking about what is the value that we can create for you that then, in turn, creates value for us. So maybe to start with, we have on Vero, you can share photos and video, you can share music and movies, and you can discover new things. And we're about to launch an update in the next in some weeks from now that will allow you to discover music in genres and bring that together and really put a lot of fuel under that fire. People are sharing things all of the time, and they discover new things on Vero as a result. So we'd like it to be a place that fuels discovery of new talent, new music. So.
Talked about that before, actually. As you can live as a curator on
absolutely, and hopefully you can make money off of that. And if you're a DJ and you're creating playlists that inspire people and that become useful for people, you can make money off of those playlists, which isn't something that you can do anywhere else.
Okay. Well, listen, been a great introduction. Fascinating to have some time with you. But thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.